appropriate time has arrived. I'll call the meeting to order. Good morning and welcome, everyone. This is an open meeting of the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board on June 25, 2009. We welcome those of you who have joined us today, both in person and listening to the webcast of this meeting. Today, the board will consider a recommendation to adopt an amendment to the board's rule on the frequency of inspections as it applies to certain foreign registered public accounting firms. Before we proceed, I will note for the record that all members are present at today's meeting. The first and only order of business before the board today is a recommendation that the board adopt an amendment to Rule 4003. I will now turn to Rhonda Schneer, Director of the Office of International Affairs, to present this recommendation. Rhonda.
Thank you, Chairman Olson. In December 2008, the board proposed and sought comment on Rule 4003G, which gives the board the ability to defer for up to 3 years the inspections of certain non-U.S. firms with inspection deadlines in 2009. The board also sought comment on certain proposed transparency measures and also actions that the board might take in the event of non-cooperation by a registered firm. The board received 24 comment letters in response to this proposal. Today, the staff is recommending that the board adopt, as proposed, the amendment to Rule 4003. In addition, the staff is recommending that the board implement certain related transparency measures, which I will describe in a moment. In general, the comments received were supportive of the proposed rule amendment, although some comments urged the board to permit no further delays and to adopt the board's proposal to announce at the beginning of the year all of the non-U.S. jurisdictions in which there are firms the board intends to inspect that year. These comments also supported the board's intent to sequence deferred inspections by the U.S. market capitalization of their clients and to satisfy certain criteria concerning the number of inspections to be conducted each year. Several comments also suggested that the board should utilize the additional time provided by the proposed extension to enhance its international inspection program, particularly in the areas of risk assessment and pre-inspection planning. Other comments supported the proposed rules but expressed concern that 3 years may not be enough time to overcome the legal conflicts and sovereignty concerns in all relevant jurisdictions. Some of these comments also noted that the board's plan to sequence the deferred inspections by the U.S. market capitalization of the firm's clients did not adequately take into account the varying degrees of legal conflicts present in different jurisdictions. The staff continues to believe that an extension of up to 3 years for certain firms with 2009 deadlines strikes the appropriate balance between avoiding unnecessary delays in inspections and allowing reasonable time for the board to continue its efforts to reach cooperative arrangements with its counterparts. It is the judgment of the staff that working jointly and cooperatively with our counterparts is the most effective way for the PCOB to fully accomplish its mission. Building productive relationships with our counterparts has worked well. To date, the PCOB has conducted approximately 140 inspections and 26 inspections around the world, including joint inspections in 6 countries. The amendment to Rule 4003 and the criteria I will describe in a moment would permit the board to continue the negotiations with our counterparts in the remaining jurisdictions, but with certain parameters on timing and sequencing. As explained when the amendment was proposed, it is important to understand that this extension would apply to only a narrow universe of firms. It would permit delaying only the first inspection of firms with a current 2009 inspection deadline, and only if those firms are in jurisdictions where the PCOB has not previously conducted inspections. The extension would not apply to any second inspections to any firms with current deadlines other than in 2009 or to firms in countries where the PCOB has previously conducted inspections. This amendment would not entitle any firm to an extension of time. Rather, it would give the board the discretion to defer for up to 3 years the deadlines for some of the relevant inspections. In fact, the staff is not recommending that the board delay the inspections of all the firms eligible for the extension. In considering how to allocate the inspections over that period of time without unduly delaying inspections of firms whose audit work has the broadest impact on U.S. investors, staff is recommending that the board implement its proposal to look to the total U.S. market capitalization of the firm's issuer audit clients in setting the inspection schedule. While perhaps not a perfect gauge, market capitalization is a reasonable and perhaps the most readily measurable indicator of the impact of a firm's audit work on U.S. investors. Thus, the staff recommends that the board determine the schedule for the inspections of firms subject to Rule 4003G by sequencing the eligible inspections such that certain minimum thresholds related to market capitalization be satisfied in each of the years from 2009 to 2012. In addition, the staff recommends that the board implement its proposal that it set a minimum number of inspections per year for the firms that are eligible for the extension. So specifically, staff recommends that by the end of 2009, the board would inspect firms whose combined audit client U.S. market cap constitutes at least 35% of the aggregate U.S. market cap of the audit clients of all eligible firms. By the end of 2010, the board would inspect firms whose combined audit client U.S. market cap constitute at least 90% of the aggregate. And by the end of 2011, the board would inspect firms whose combined audit client U.S. market cap would constitute at least 99.9% of that aggregate. So the third year in 2012, the board would inspect any remaining firms that are left. Along with meeting those market cap thresholds, as I mentioned, the staff also recommends that the board satisfy certain criteria concerning the number of firms that would be inspected in each year. Specifically, the staff recommends that the board conduct at least 4 inspections of the eligible firms in the pool in 2009, at least 11 more in 2010, and at least 14 more in 2011. This is because the bulk of the issuer market cap is audited by a small number of firms that would be eligible for the extension. It is important to note that the staff recommendation with regard to scheduling would not prevent an inspection from occurring earlier than called for by the schedule. Any inspection could be moved to an earlier year for a variety of reasons, such as the presence of risk factors in a particular audit engagement, the presence of significant referral work by a firm, synchronization of schedules with a local regulator for purposes of a joint inspection, or simply the opportunity to do an inspection earlier and the availability of resources to do so. In addition, the staff recommends that the board review updated market capitalization data on at least an annual basis and consider whether there have been any changes that warrant moving a particular inspection forward to an earlier year due to the change in the market capitalization of the firm's clients. The staff also agrees with the comment letter suggesting that the board utilize the additional time permitted under the extension to strengthen the technical aspects of its international inspection program and recommends that the board and its staff continue its efforts in this regard. Along with the rule amendment, the board sought comment on a proposal to maintain on the PCAOB website an up-to-date list of all registered firms that have not yet had their first board inspection, even though more than 4 years have passed since the end of the calendar year in which they first issued an audit report while registered with the board. The board received a number of comments supporting this proposal. 2 comments suggested that the board also provide regular updates on its progress in inspecting the firms subject to the extension under Rule 4003F and 4003G. Some comments suggested that the proposed list should include the reasons for the failure of the board to conduct the inspections of the listed firms within the 4-year time frame. Other comments opposed the publication of such lists. These comments expressed concern that the list could unfairly impugn the quality of the work of listed firms even though no inspection has taken place. Some comments also suggested that the list could cause a loss of investor confidence in the listed firm's clients or in other audit firms and jurisdictions with firms on the list. Several comments also suggested alternative transparency measures, such as listing firms that have been inspected or listing the jurisdictions where inspections have not yet been conducted, rather than listing the firms. The staff recommends that the board proceed as proposed in December with respect to the list of firms not inspected despite the passage of 4 years since they issued an audit report after registering with the board. The staff believes that this list provides appropriate transparency in light of the expectation created by the Act and the board's rules about the frequency of inspections. The board believes that listing firms that have been inspected does not accomplish the same goal, and that it would be inappropriate to list only the jurisdictions where firms have not been inspected, because in some jurisdictions, some firms may have been inspected while others have not. In order to avoid any unwarranted inferences about the quality of audit work performed by the firms on the list, staff recommends that the board preface the list with language stating that no inferences should be drawn about the quality of the listed firm's audit work, its systems, policies, procedures, practices, or conduct or about the strength of the firm's home country oversight system. Staff does not believe it would be appropriate to explain why each firm is included in the list, as the board may not always know all of the reasons for a firm's position with respect to an inspection demand. Rather, the staff recommends that the list's prefatory language also note that no inferences should be drawn from the list about the reasons for a firm's inclusion on the list. Staff agrees with those comments suggesting that the board should provide regular updates about its progress in inspecting the firms whose inspections are deferred pursuant to Rules 4003F and G. The staff therefore recommends that the board announce biannually its progress toward the thresholds I've described with regards to the number of firms to be inspected and the aggregate market capitalization of firm clients. Finally, the staff recommends that the board implement its proposal to announce publicly at the beginning of each year through 2012 those jurisdictions in which there are firms that the PCOB intends to inspect in that year. The board has already posted the list of jurisdictions for 2009 on its website. In the proposing release, the board announced that it would not remove a jurisdiction from that list without publicly explaining the reason for doing so. The staff recommends that the board continue that practice going forward with regard to the future years. Let me now turn to the request for comment with regard to the board's consideration of appropriate sanctions in a case where a firm has failed to cooperate with an inspection request. In the December proposing release, the board discussed the obligation of firms to cooperate with PCOB inspection requests and the possible actions the board may take in response to firms who are unable or unwilling to comply with those requests. The board stated that a firm's refusal to cooperate with an inspection request is a violation of Rule 4006 and may be sanctioned by the board. The board sought public comment on whether and how a non-U.S. legal conflict or refusal to cooperate due to a sovereignty concern should be factored into the board's consideration of the appropriate sanction for violation of Rule 4006. The board also requested comment on the possibility of requiring a disclosure by a principal auditor that itself has failed to provide information during inspection or that uses the work of a firm that has not cooperated with the PCOB inspection request. The board received a number of comments stating that the board should impose meaningful sanctions, including deregistration on firms that fail to comply with PCOB inspection requests, even if the refusal to comply is due to legal conflict. These comments stated that investors have an interest in the inspection of all firms auditing U.S. public companies, and that the imposition of no sanctions or weak sanctions in this situation would create an incentive for the firms to refuse to cooperate with inspections and could lead to regulatory arbitrage. Other comment letters argued that it would be unfair for the board to sanction firms that are forced to choose between violating the Act or their home country laws. These comments also argue that sanctions imposed on these firms could harm the relationship of the PCOB with its counterparts or could adversely affect U.S. issuers or their subsidiaries, since the applicable legal conflict would affect all audit firms in the respective jurisdiction. Staff does not believe it would be in the interest of investors or the public for the board to decline, as a matter of general policy, to take action with regard to firms that refuse to cooperate with board inspection demands. However, the staff recognizes that each case of non-cooperation may involve unique facts and circumstances, and therefore the staff believes that sanctions should be determined if and when it comes up on a case-by-case basis. This concludes my presentation of the staff's recommendations, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Rhonda. Are there any motions regarding this matter?
Mr. Chairman, I have a motion.
Mr. Addison.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the board adopt Rule 4003G as recommended by the staff and instruct the staff to submit the rule to the Securities and Exchange Commission for approval pursuant to Section 107 of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act.
Is there a second?
Mr. Chairman, I second the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Gelser and Mr. Addison. As Rhonda just outlined, the recommendation before the board is to adopt an amendment to Rule 4003 that would give the board the ability to postpone for up to 3 years certain first inspections of foreign registered public accounting firms that the board is otherwise required to conduct before the end of 2009. Before moving forward, I would like to thank Rhonda, Michael Stevenson, and Carl Callender, and their colleagues in the Office of International Affairs, the Office of General Counsel, and the Division of Registration and inspections for their hard work on what is a particularly complex and challenging project, and certainly to Suzanne and Mitch, who are standing by and ready to answer questions as they come up. I support the amendment to Rule 4003 and believe that the rule adopted today reflects a pragmatic approach. While it will result in a limited delay in the inspection of certain firms, I believe that, where possible, conducting inspections cooperatively with the board's non-U.S. counterparts is the most appropriate approach to meeting our inspection mandate for firms located outside the United States. The approach promotes strong and consistent oversight of auditors across global markets and also helps to conserve PCAOB resources. While the PCAOB is committed to engaging with its fellow audit regulators, at the same time the board is required by the Sarbanes-Oxley Act of 2002 to conduct inspections of registered firms, including non-U.S. firms. Firms that have registered with the PCAOB must be mindful of the board's statutory obligation and authority to conduct those inspections and of the firm's obligation under the Sarbanes-Oxley Act and PCAOB rules to cooperate in the inspection. The board believes that most, if not all, legal conflicts related to inspections can be resolved through cooperative arrangements, consents, or redaction of certain information not relevant to an inspection. Ultimately, a refusal to provide information based on non-U.S. legal restrictions involves unique circumstances, and the board will weigh the facts and circumstances of each particular case in determining the need to impose sanctions. That said, foregoing productive relationships with home country audit regulators and coordinating non-U.S. inspections continues to be guiding principles for our inspection program. Although significant progress has been made in the international inspection program to date, as Rhonda outlined, the need to delay certain first-time inspections results from the substantial time and effort required to establish the necessary cooperative arrangements to undertake inspections outside the United States. I believe the rule amendment today will allow the PCAOB to continue its efforts to successfully work with its foreign counterparts while continuing to meet its statutory mandate and serve the public interest. The board's approach to sequence these first-time inspections over 3 years based on issuer market cap is designed to address risk and direct the staff's efforts to those firms with the most market impact. In my view, it is appropriate to continue the board's practical approach to conducting inspections of foreign registered accounting firms. When coupled with the transparency measures recommended by the staff, it appropriately emphasizes the need to coordinate and cooperate with local authorities to the extent possible, while simultaneously underscoring the importance of firms' compliance with U.S. law and informing the investing public of our continuing progress. I support this approach and continue to believe that it is in the long-term best interest of investors. Accordingly, I view the rules before us today as representing an important first step, and I support the staff's recommendation. I'll now turn to my fellow board members for any discussion, and we can move left to right today. We'll start with Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a statement also. As we've already heard, the amendment before us today would permit the board to defer for up to 3 years 49 non-U.S. inspections that would otherwise occur in 2009. While I support adoption of this rule, the decision is painful. Robust and timely inspections are the cornerstone of our auditor oversight program. Delaying the first inspection of any firm on whose work investors are relying is not something I take lightly. Deferrals undermine what Congress sought to accomplish in creating the board and in directing it to perform regular inspections of all firms, whether based in the U.S. or elsewhere, that audit SEC-registered companies. Despite these reservations, I believe that the deferral and proposed Rule 4003G strikes an acceptable balance between the practical difficulties of laying the groundwork for inspections in multiple jurisdictions and the board's statutory mandate. Those practical difficulties include grappling with thorny issues of commercial privacy, sovereignty, and cross-border information sharing. Resolving these problems requires the board to sit down with fellow audit oversight bodies who are often themselves new at the job. Obviously, that process, which must be repeated country by country, can be time-consuming. It's important to emphasize that while the deferral will delay some non-U.S. inspections, the bigger picture is that we have, and will continue to have, a very active foreign inspection program. As noted in the proposed release, the Board's inspections of non-U.S. firms began in 2005, and the Board has now inspected 140 non-U.S. firms in 26 jurisdictions. We recently published a list indicating that in 2009, we intend to conduct additional inspections in 27 countries. While Rule 4003G permits the Board to delay some first inspections, it does not by any means suggest that we're generally unable or unwilling to fulfill our inspection obligations as the non-U.S. firm. Further, in the case of the inspections that will be deferred under the new rule, we've tried to be mindful of the impact on U.S. investors. The Board does not intend to simply postpone the 49 inspections until 2012. On the contrary, despite the deferral, we intend to inspect this year deferrable firms whose combined issuer audit clients' U.S. market capitalization constitutes at least 35% of the aggregate U.S. market capitalization of the audit clients of all 49 of the firms. By the end of 2010, coverage will rise to at least 90%. The Board won't move one of the 49 inspections to a later year than is called for under this distribution without publicly describing the change and the reason. Conversely, there's nothing that would prevent the Board from moving up the scheduling of an inspection due to emerging risks or other reasons, and we'll certainly do that where appropriate. While I would prefer that no deferrals were necessary, I also believe that the process of developing Rule 4003G has had some positive consequences. First, the amendment is packaged with important transparency initiatives. On March 31st, the Board published a list of the 27 non-U.S. jurisdictions in which the firms that the Board intends to inspect in 2009 are located. The Board has also published a list of the 26 jurisdictions in which it's already conducted inspections. Both lists will be updated periodically. In addition, the Board intends to begin publicly releasing the names of all registered firms that have not had their first Board inspection within the original 4 years after registration deadline set out in the Board's rules. I think that these steps open a window into our international inspection program. I hope we'll explore ways to provide still more information to investors and others about the inspection status of all registered firms. The second positive consequence that I see is that the stretch out in the first inspection schedule also give the Board a bit of latitude to step back and review its foreign inspection program and take some steps to enhance it. I understand that the Division of Registration and Inspections is working closely with the Office of Research and Analysis in the Office of International Affairs to make sure that our risk assessment, engagement selection, and inspection planning are calibrated to take into account the differences in the audit and financial reporting environments in the various jurisdictions around the world. The staff is also considering how to better evaluate the global auditing networks and the various levels of risk related to referred work on audits of multinational companies. If Rule 4000G buys us a bit of time to apply the results of these efforts to more first inspections, I think that's all to the good. In short, while it's difficult to muster great enthusiasm for a rule that defers 49 first inspections, I think the recommendation before us today is appropriate under the circumstances. It's tailored to both the practical difficulties of an inspection program that must operate in multiple jurisdictions and to the Board's statutory investor protection mandate. I also believe that in the long run, it will give us the opportunity to improve transparency and strengthen our foreign inspections. Let me just conclude by expressing my thanks also to the staff that have worked on this project, especially Rhonda Schneer, Aaron Dietrich, Michael Stevenson, and Carl Callender. The issues involved here generates strong views among board members, and I appreciate the skill and patience with which you've all handled the project. With that, I did want to ask a few things about the proposal. You better begin with what progress we're making this year. The release indicates that we'll inspect this year enough of the 49 firms that could be deferred from 2009 to cover at least 35% of the total market cap of deferred firms. However, June 25th, I guess today, the year is almost half over. Are we actually making progress on that? Did we start, I guess, would be the first question prior to the adoption of this rule, and are we going to meet the goal?
Dan, by the end of July, we will have inspected two of the four firms that would meet that criteria for the 35% market cap and the number of firms. The other two firms are in Europe, and we are still in the process of discussing a cooperative arrangement with their home country regulators. And so if we're able to conclude and finalize cooperative arrangements, then we should have no problem in actually conducting those inspections. If we're not able to establish a cooperative arrangement, then it remains to be seen whether the firms will cooperate with a board inspection demand. From a resource standpoint or a logistics standpoint, we don't have any restrictions that would prevent us from completing those inspections.
Well, maybe that suggests a kind of corollary question. I think around Christmas time of last year, we adopted a rule that deferred the first inspections of some foreign firms that should have been inspected in 2008 into 2009. That was just a one-year deferral, so that work would have to be done this year. The SEC approved that rule, at the end of last month, so it's finalized in effect now. Are we going to meet that goal? And will we be able to inspect in 2009, this year, the firms that we deferred out of 2008 into 2009?
There were 21 firms that were deferred from 2008 to 2009, and by the end of July, we will have inspected four of them. The remainder of the firms are located in the EU, China, and Switzerland. And we are still in negotiations and discussions with the authorities in each of those countries. And so, again, if we're able to conclude negotiations and establish a cooperative arrangement with the authorities in those countries, then we should have no problem in completing those inspections. If we're not, then, again, it remains to be seen whether the firms in those countries will cooperate with an inspection board demand. But from a resource standpoint, from a logistics standpoint, CCB doesn't have any restrictions that would prevent it from accomplishing those inspections.
If we weren't able to work out those arrangements, I guess that would implicate then the other issues that we saw comment on but aren't actually doing anything with today. That is, what kind of sanctions or how we should proceed when there's non-cooperation based on legal obligations and whether that ought to trigger any disclosure obligations or other kinds of, say, non-enforcement consequences. There's been some discussion already about referred work or referral work. In other words, the situation where a non-U.S. firm is working on an audit of an SEC-registered company, but they're not the signing auditor. They're auditing maybe the subsidiary in their jurisdiction or something of that nature. As I understand it, when we set up this market capitalization schedule to decide on the order in which we're going to attack the 49 deferred inspections, we didn't include referred work. It seems to me that can have, if work isn't done properly, it can have consequences for U.S. investors, just like the work where the auditor is actually signing the opinion. Why isn't the referred work included, and sort of what's our attitude towards looking at that work in an inspection?
Referred work, we have no way, practical way, of determining the market cap of the referred work because that's not a complete audit, that's part of an audit. But that doesn't mean we're not conducting inspections that are going to be directed at evaluating the referred work, because we are. That's a priority, particularly a priority for this year, and we're exploring a number of ways of determining the risks with respect to particular work, referred work at particular non-U.S. Inspection sites, and we're working with ORR in connection with that, and also we're getting information from the accounting firms, sometimes the domestic accounting firms, with respect to the referral work they refer to the non-U.S. jurisdictions. And in anticipation of foreign inspections, we're getting work and requesting it ahead of the inspections that relates to the referral work as well. And this year we'll see how it all works out, but it's not a case where we're not doing it. It's not a case where that's not a priority.
Well, I do think it's important. I'm glad we're trying to build up more information about the referred work so we can take it into account. I know you said it's hard to determine or we don't initially have the information. Do you have a ballpark sense of whether it would change the order in which we looked at these 49 firms? Does the referred work tend to follow the market capitalization of the signing work, or no correlation there?
The problem is that if you have you could have a multinational domestic firm that's has subsidiaries all over the world that are audited by different jurisdictions, and in some instances that referred work may be nothing or not much, and in others it may be extremely significant. It may involve a wholly owned subsidiary that's substantive to the business of the multinational. At present, we do not have a handle on all the risks that relate to referred work. One of the problems is how do you get an overview of the risks of that work conducted internationally. And we're going to try to do it through getting information from the firms largely, but also we're working with the other divisions here.
Well, again, I may be going another step down that path. I said in my statement that I thought one of the sort of the silver linings of the deferral was that it did give us a bit of an opportunity to kind of sharpen and make more sophisticated our risk assessment and other things related to inspection planning for foreign inspections. Since I said it, I hope it's accurate. I mean, can you expand a little on what we're doing in that regard?
Well, we're improving the processes in the inspection division relating particularly to planning and particularly as they relate to the risk process. We brought the inspection personnel in from the field to enable us to better evaluate and enhance the planning process and the risk evaluation process, but also we brought them in as to give us a better handle on oversight of both the field inspectors and also a more oversight into their reporting process. So we're working with ORR in trying to develop better methods of evaluating risk, particularly things that relate to cultural differences from area to area. And we're working with OIA, as we have always done, in enabling it for getting information with respect to getting into those particular countries is really helpful to us also from the inspection process in determining our scheduling.
Well, it does seem to me that when we went into all this several years ago, we kind of took the attitude that the risks of audit failure outside the United States could be analyzed in about the same way that they were domestically. And you know, as you're suggesting, I think we've learned now that you have to look at the cultural differences, variety of other things. So I'm
much more
glad we're going down that road. Let me just turn to the transparency part of what we're doing. I mean, you discussed, Rhonda, the list that we're going to release of the names of the firms that haven't had their first inspection within the framework of the schedule in our rules, basically within 3 years after the year in which the firm is first registered. Can you expand any on the mechanics of how that list is going to work? When will a firm's name go on the list? When will it come off the list? And a lot of things happen in the course of an inspection, notifying the firm it's going to be inspected, requesting documents, starting the field work, ending the field work, sending a draft report, sending a final report. When will a firm be on and off that list?
Well, because the inspection deadlines are set by calendar year here at the PCAOB, so a firm would go on that list if by the end of the prior calendar year the inspection field work for that firm had not been conducted, and that that prior calendar year was the original four-year deadline. So they would go on the list if the inspection field work had not been conducted, and then when the list is updated, if the inspection field work has been conducted by that time, the firm would come off the list.
So the I guess you're saying that the triggering event to go off the list would be completion of the field work and the inspection?
That's what we had envisioned.
You know, I think that makes sense, but maybe sometimes it's hard to define the completion of the field work because you may think you're done and then identify a need to go back in and do field work again. I mean,
that's true. There is an element of judgment in that.
And then, just give me again the earlier part of your answer. Will we be updating this list during the year, or this list will be annual? So if you're on it January 1st, the field work is completed January 15th, you won't come off until next year?
Well, we had actually envisioned that the list would be updated in January and July. So that if the field work was completed in the first 6 months of the year, then the firm would come off that list when it was updated in July.
And then release has some language in it, and I think you quoted it or paraphrased it in your statement, Rhonda, about that basically we're not going to try and offer the reasons why a firm is on the list because we're not in a position to know what the firm's circumstances is and are in all cases. And then it says, given the possibility of disciplinary proceedings to determine whether a particular firm's conduct violates the Act or the PCAOB's rules, it would be inappropriate for the board to comment publicly on the firm's position with respect to an inspection demand. And I certainly agree with that's fine. There's a strong implication there, I guess, that if a firm is on the list, it will have received an inspection demand. And on some basis, legitimate or otherwise, they declined to cooperate in the inspection. Is that a fair assumption for the readers of the list?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assumption. I mean, there are possibilities or other reasons why the PCOB might not be able to complete an inspection within the time frame. You know, for instance, there could be, since we have firms registered from 87 jurisdictions around the world, it's possible there could be a security concern, personal security concern, that would prevent the PCOB from sending its inspectors to a certain country and therefore prevent that inspection from being done on time. I suppose it's possible in the future that there would be a logistics problem in getting the inspections done. And the list is not technically limited to non-U.S. firms. So, you know, if there was a U.S. firm that wasn't conducted on time, then that firm could be listed. So the list is really about just providing transparency that these firms were supposed to have been inspected within 4 years of the date where they issued an audit report after being registered with the board, and they weren't.
And I guess, as I understand, if we were to publish the first list today, I guess the 49 firms we're talking about here would be on that list, although they've not all, I guess not any, but most haven't received inspection demands.
Technically, if you publish the list today, the list of firms that were deferred from 2008 to 2009 would be on the list, except for the three that have been inspected, four by the end of July, that will have been inspected. And so I wouldn't include the 49 on the list because technically, you know, you can't say for sure that those firms have not been inspected by the end of the calendar year until the end of the calendar year. So at the end of this year, the firms in that pool that aren't inspected would be included on that list.
When are we going to publish the first list?
I had envisioned we would publish the first list in July.
And it will be, I got to make sure I put it will be then as of July 1st, or would have been the list that we would have published on January 1st had this all been in place?
I would think we would make it accurate and make it as of whatever date in July it's published.
Just one last thing, and I guess kind of transcends this proposal. I'm very much in favor of these lists and this kind of window into foreign inspection that we're talking about here. I think a lot of these issues would also be addressed, or at least would appear in a broader context, if we had a system where there was a web page or some access on our website to a page for every registered firm, where you could see when it was registered, whether it had been inspected, linked to its inspection report, other information about the firm. There's certainly been discussion over time internally about doing that. Is there some hope that we'll see a comprehensive system like that anytime soon?
I believe there is. It's my understanding that all of those things that you just mentioned are planned for the board's website and should be up and running sometime later this year in connection with the special and annual reporting system.
Now hopefully that'll be in a way then that will let people do their own sorts if they want to see firms that registered before X date and haven't had an inspection, had their inspection in a certain year. They could devise sort of their own free-form searches to come up with lists of firms.
That's my understanding, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much. As I've indicated, I do support this proposal, although in some ways I wish we didn't have to do it, but I think it's the right way to go from where we are. Thank you.
Charlie, thanks, Mark. Well, it's already been said, this is certainly a challenging rulemaking. Paramount concern is to protect the interests of investors and U.S. securities, and, you know, it is difficult to argue that delaying inspections could do so, yet that's exactly what we're considering today. The board's action today should signal an unwavering willingness to work with our counterparts in appropriate ways to enhance investor protection. But the purpose of these relationships must be to facilitate our inspection mandate, not avoid it. I have supported achieving our mandate through cooperative arrangements, and I continue to do so as a way to avoid unnecessary conflicts. But avoidance of conflict cannot mean avoidance of inspection. I support the board's action today because, as I expressed at the open meeting on the proposal, we still have much work to do to build our non-U.S. inspections program. I'd like to say that we can complete all required inspections with the highest quality, but the reality is that deferring an inspection may allow us to do a better inspection in the end. Until recently, our Office of Research and Analysis has had limited involvement in non-U.S. inspections. Indeed, risk assessment is particularly important in these inspections, given that many of the firms are quite large, and yet our window into them is limited to simply a small number of audits. Our inspections also need to focus on the substantial risk that referred work presents on multinational audits. In that regard, I'm disappointed that, as the release points out, we don't today have sufficient information on referred work to take much work into account in prioritizing the inspections this year. This should change. Indeed, in some situations, referred work on a large multinational audit may dwarf a firm's other U.S. issuer work. In addition, many registered non-U.S. firms are members of global networks and rely on regional quality control functions. We need a strategy to evaluate those quality control functions in the context of local non-U.S. inspections, and the additional time should allow us to develop one that is both effective and likely efficient as well. Also, as others have noted, while field work on 140 non-U.S. inspections has substantially been performed, most of those inspections have not yet resulted in inspection reports. The additional time should allow inspectors to evaluate our evidence from those inspections, prepare reports, and bring lessons learned from them to bear in future inspections. Finally, I support the transparency initiatives that the board is announcing today. In addition to providing investors information about the status of the firm's inspections, they enhance the board's accountability to the public for maintaining its non-U.S. inspection program. I'm certainly appreciative of the many thoughtful comments that we received on this proposal, and I also would like to thank the hard work of the many staff who worked on this initiative, as well as the important transparency initiatives that we are announcing today. Thank you very much.
Bill. Mr. Chairman, I also want to join in indicating my support for this proposal and my deep appreciation for all the hard work that the staff has put into it. Today's approval of this rule highlights the importance of identifying just what the barriers are to our inspections in certain countries. One such factor is that under Sarbanes-Oxley, the board cannot share inspection information with non-U.S. jurisdictions. It's understandable that while the board can share such information with certain federal and state bodies, the Congress did not include non-U.S. counterparts of the PCAOB, since very few such organizations even existed back in 2002 when that legislation was approved by the Congress. It's my hope that the Congress will give serious consideration to permitting such sharing of information, since that may facilitate developing cooperative arrangements in certain countries where we cannot do so today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I support the adoption of the rule amendment before us today. Last December, with some reluctance, I voted along with my fellow board members to propose an amendment to Rule 4003 to give the board the ability to postpone certain inspections of foreign registered public accounting firms for up to 3 years. I stated then, as I do now, that it is a difficult call to make when considering whether extending the deadlines for certain international inspections is consistent with the Sarbanes-Oxley Act's imperative to protect investors. The choice the board faced was clearly stated in the release, namely to one, postpone certain inspections of foreign registered public accounting firms while continuing discussions with firms or jurisdictions in an attempt to resolve outstanding issues, or two, proceed with inspections by making inspection demands on individual firms over the likely objection of a number of local authorities. Comments the board received from investor representatives varied in terms of the level of support. Examples included the following. Jeff Mahoney from the Council of Institutional Investors wrote, quote, "We obviously have great concern with the proposal to allow the board to postpone for up to 3 years the first inspection of any non-U.S. firm," close quote. He further stated, quote, "Our support for this proposal is contingent on the final rule, including at a minimum certain conditions to ensure that the quality of the board's inspections of U.S. and non-U.S. registered firms becomes better and more responsive to the needs of investors going forward," close quote. Mary Morris from the California Public Employees Retirement System wrote, quote, "Although CalPERS supports the amendment's extended timetables, it does so with reservations and strongly believes that the board should maintain on its website an up-to-date list of all registered firms that have not yet had their first inspection and the reason why," close quote. And Barbara Roper from the Consumer Federation of America offered, quote, "reluctant and conditional support for the proposal to delay for up to 3 years first inspections of some foreign audit firms, provided that the proposed inspection delay is conditioned on certain factors." It is clear from these comments and others that representatives of investors believe that greater transparency about those jurisdictions and firms that have yet to be inspected is essential given the delays. Investor representatives also believe that delays should be used to improve, where possible, the overall international inspection process, and that any further inspection delays beyond this 3-year extension would be unacceptable. I agree with these investor group comments. Vital to the final rule we are about to vote on today are the transparency initiatives it includes. More specifically, as has been discussed, at the beginning of each year and until 2012, the board will list on its website all non-U.S. jurisdictions in which firms are scheduled to be inspected by the PCAOB during that year. Further, the board will not remove a jurisdiction from the list without publicly explaining why the schedule has changed for that jurisdiction. The board will post on its website a list of all registered firms that have not yet had their first PCAOB inspection, even though more than 4 years have passed since they first issued an audit report while registered with the board. Further, the board will update this list in January and July of each year. In addition, the board will retain the policy it announced last December to post on its website a list of non-U.S. jurisdictions in which the PCAOB has already conducted inspections. And finally, the board intends to report biannually on its progress in meeting the scheduling thresholds described in the release. These disclosures will provide crucial and timely information to investors as they consider their investment strategies and risk tolerances. I am confident the board will make every effort to use this inspection delay to continue its efforts to advance its coordination and cooperation with local authorities. I also fully expect that the additional time will provide the board with an opportunity to enhance our international inspection program in other ways. Borrowing from the comment letter of Jack Silvisky, the publisher of the Analyst Accounting Observer, quote, the inspections are critical, and so is their proper execution. Therefore, I support the extended timetable so that the inspections are done with due care and diligence, close quote. I want to make one further point on the broader issue of transparency. I do not want to lose sight of other issues before us to improve disclosures about the board's activities with respect to firm's inspection and remediation efforts. As I have stated before, at the board's open meeting on December 4th, I believe that the board should prominently disclose on its website those firms that have failed to remediate quality control concerns identified in our inspection reports within a 12-month time frame. I also think it is extremely important to clearly identify on our website, as I mentioned before, those firms that have been inspected by the PCOB and those that have not. For example, I doubt that many investors realize that while the PCOB has a little over 2,000 registered firms, we only inspect about half of those firms, a little over 1,000. This is because registered firms that have not issued audit opinions for public companies during any of the previous 3 years are not inspected by the PCOB, even though they may have issued audit opinions for their non-public clients. I look forward to working with you, Mr. Chairman, on these initiatives and completing our deliberations on them as soon as possible so that investors will have readily available access to this information. I know how much hard work was put into this release by Rhonda Schneer and her team in the International Affairs, Michael Stevenson in the General Counsel's Office, and Carl Callender in Inspections. I commend them for their efforts. And finally, Mr. Chairman, I would be remiss if I did not recognize your leadership in achieving today's positive outcome.
Thank you very much.
And I've got two observations. One, I totally share Bill Gratison's point that to the extent possible, we move as expeditious as we can and encourage the Congress to move, as I think we all are, inspection information reports with our counterparts throughout the world. And then, George, I wish you would very briefly describe the role that our Office of Research and Analysis plays in helping your office prioritize our international inspections.
Well, in the area of international, there's not a lot of information that the type of information that you have domestically in terms of evaluating risk. I mean, a lot of these companies, once you get in foreign jurisdictions, you don't have the kind of tracking that you have by analysts in the United States. So this is evaluating risks, particularly when you factor in cultural risks and differences in the way countries conduct their business. Once you get off of U.S. soil, it's extremely difficult. So I'm saying inspections and also RAA are in the beginning of this process. And we've been meeting with the ORA in an effort to try to figure out how best we can accomplish the objective of evaluating risk. As Dan mentioned, one area is the global networks of the major firms and how the global networks evaluate risks in connection with their inspection processes they conduct across the world, and we're trying to evaluate how we can better obtain cooperation with respect to these global networks and how the global networks of the big four firms evaluate risk. Also, we're in working with ORA, they have identified a certain third-party databases that provide information that evaluate risk. It's not as good as what you would typically find in the United States, but it's certainly a step in the right direction. I'll tell you what else we're doing. We're taking the people that we have internally, and we have people that speak, I thought at last it was like 26 different languages, that have lived in these countries, that have conducted audits in some of these countries. And what we started to do internally is to go to those people and ask those people to give us the benefits of the knowledge they gained in connection with the careers they had before they came here and operating in these countries. In other words, if you want to identify the risks associated with a foreign connection with a foreign affiliate, you got to start with how the business is conducted in that particular country. And so we're using our internal knowledge and trying to use that to leverage our ability to evaluate risk internally. So it's work with the ORA. It's what we're doing internally. It's what we're looking at in the future with respect to how we're going to deal with these and obtain cooperations from these foreign affiliate and global networks of the major firms, in particular with the Big Six accounting firms.
And finally, do you feel that you have the necessary staff and resources to accomplish your international inspections agenda?
Yes, yes. We have some of the most talented people that I've ever worked with. You can pit the people that we have in inspections and the people that we have in our domestic large firm and small firm program against anybody out there and against any regulatory agency, quasi-regulatory agency anywhere. They're the best, and they're the most qualified. I mean, we have people that were ex-partners at the firms. We have upwards of 25 years of experience coming in the door. I mean, our least experienced people we've hired as managers and have between 13 and 14 years of experience. These are, without any qualification, the best that you're going to find. And they can do the job, and they will.
I'd like to add to that just a little bit. Our original budget for 2009 provided for 111 non-U.S. inspections, and pursuant to the revisions of this inspection frequency requirement of Rule 4003, the revised estimate for 2009 does include all of those inspections that are required pursuant to the changes to the inspection frequency. But as everybody knows, I believe here, is that over the last several months, we have continued to refine our risks associated with our non-U.S. inspections. And we have begun to take a variety of steps to strengthen our inspections program, and expect that those enhancements will continue into 2010. The amendments to the inspections frequency requirement provide a degree of flexibility to increase the scope on the inspections that we're conducting this year. However, we are, as we continue to look at the refinements to the non-U.S. inspections program, we are continuing to also reassess what is the right balance in terms of the resources that are needed for non-U.S. inspections as we continue to go out and do those inspections in 2009 and beyond 2010.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. If there's no further discussion, I'll put the question to the board. All those in favor of approving the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it, and the motion is carried. There's no further business. This concludes our agenda today. The meeting is now adjourned. We will rise from the open meeting and reconvene the closed board meeting at 10:35.